The following is a presentation of GalacticNetcasts.com.
Attention, Galactic Collective. The Sci-Fi Geeks Club is next. Please stand by.
You can take part in the podcasts by providing feedback. Send a message to galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. Call the voicemail number at 805-328-3966 or leave an audio message directly on our website, galacticnetcasts.com. We also invite you to join the Galactic Collective. All the information and links can be found at gncasts.com/galacticcollective. That's gncasts.com/galacticcollective. Now, without further ado, hear ye, hear ye! Another meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club is officially called to order!
I'm Dave Nelson. Joining me for a look at the week's sci-fi news is Brad Ludwig, Anessa Moyens, and our guest host this time around is JF Dubo. How you guys doing?
I'm okay.
Awesome.
Good.
Wow, so, that was like the three little bears. Good. I'm okay.
Awesome!
I'm Peachy Keen.
I should have asked you
Jelly Bean.
I should have asked you why you were that way. Like, why are you okay, Anessa? You know, why are you awesome? Who said awesome? Was it JF?
I said I was good.
Oh, okay.
It was me.
What JF? What did you say?
He was okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I said okay, but I said in an awesome tone of voice.
Yeah, I know. So, I noticed that. See, you made up for the fact that you said okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Our guest this week is a nerdy artist, gamer girl from Mansfield, Massachusetts, who's also an occasional cosplayer. She's proprietor of the website nerdlyhome.com and is the co-host of the Overcast podcast with JF. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, Amy Frost. Amy, how are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm very excited.
Wait a second. Oh, no, wait. You're going to give her the treatment, aren't you?
Oh, what you're talking about.
Wow.
Okay.
That sounds dirty.
Let me brace myself first.
Should I leave?
Okay,
Amy. All right, Amy, get your feet set. Here it comes.
All right, Amy, we like to make our guests feel special. So we do something unique for each guest every time that they're on the podcast. So are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. Here you go. I bet you that made you feel real special.
It was as good as I had imagined it would be.
All right. Well, welcome to the podcast. Why don't you tell us about the stuff that you do, the podcast and the website and all that kind of stuff.
So my, up until about 10 minutes ago, very neglected blog, The Nerdly Home, covers all of my sort of geeky pursuits, my cooking and cosplaying and sewing and everything else that I do on a day-to-day basis. And then we've got the Overcast, which I do with my good friend JF here, that covers Blizzard's new IP, Overwatch, which their game is going into beta in the fall. Like, we're so far out from this, but we're covering it anyway because we are early adopters, apparently, cutting edge.
Yeah, if I can cut in, it does feel like Blizzard made this game almost just for me. So I needed to do a podcast, and Amy seemed pretty excited about it too. So,
well, just think, you guys are getting in on the ground floor. Like, this, your podcast may end up being the premier podcast for this game.
That would be super fun, but it's not like in this day and age to get to that point. You need to like know the Metzens of the world and have inside info and be on the cutting edge. We're just doing analysis and geeking out over the game.
And there's already another podcast with a former Blizzard employee as a host. So,
well,
but we're there. We're headed.
What you do is you go to the dark web and you hire a hitman and you take these people out and then you become the premier.
Whoa! This goes out on the internet. That's forever. You cannot take that back, Dave.
Yeah. Now, otherwise, people will know what happened to Matt and why I'm here.
And then Amy and JF will go to jail if something happens to somebody. And
Now I have to send Matt the stuff that I brought from Texas just to see if it comes back returned to sender.
Well, what do you mean?
Okay. Not necessary, Anissa.
What do you guys mean Matt's not here? I don't know what you mean by that.
But
see, Matt's he's not here, ma'am.
He's there. He's here. All right, so let's get down to business talking about the sci-fi news of the week. And I think this is probably one of the coolest stories that I ran into this week. Katie Sackhoff creating and starring in a new sci-fi series. She wrote it. She's going to be the executive producer. It's called Rain. And she's doing it with the production company behind Continuum. I know that... who's familiar with Continuum? You guys like the Continuum?
I never got around to watching it.
I'm not familiar.
Am I the only person?
I can pretend to be familiar with it so I can be the odd man out, but that would be a web of lies.
You should be familiar with it by default, JF, because it is a Canadian production. But you know what? That's no
excuse. All Americans should be
familiar
with all American things?
No, there's no excuse. There's actually the lines are very blurred because a lot of sci-fi is produced in Canada, so that's probably not the best example, really.
To my defense, I am behind on a lot of stuff television-wise, which is unfortunate. Continuum is on my list along with a lot of other cool things. I mean, I haven't even caught up on Breaking Bad yet.
Okay, so Continuum is a great time travel show that kind of sucked the first couple of seasons, but then it got really, really good.
You're totally selling.
So skip to season 3.
Yeah, exactly. Anessa's got. I think she's got a good idea. Skip to season 3. Well, you know what? I didn't really jump into the Arrow until this season. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that you could get into a series, get into a show by skipping the first couple of seasons.
I totally just binged on Arrow till I caught up before the Flash Arrow crossover, so I wouldn't have any spoilers.
Yeah, and so I'm desperately trying to not have a conversation about, oh, did you see that thing where this thing happened? And
yeah.
Or then she'll ask me a question. I'm like, I can't tell you. No, I can't say anything.
Well, I know that we're all Battlestar Galactica fans, right? All of us?
Sure. Yes.
Absolutely.
So Katie Sackhoff, we're all fans of her?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Longmire.
And on Longmire.
That's right. I forget about that she's
like
on there.
One of my favorite shows ever.
Okay, so...
And I think the big MCU secret is that she's going to be Carol Danvers.
You think so?
I do.
You know, she was Ms. Marvel. No, Captain Marvel was supposed to be in Avengers Age of Ultron. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, and she did get her face cast for something, and Carol Danvers does wear a mask, so I think that's the big secret. I think she was going to be Carol Danvers. We'll see if that continues to hold out.
Do you think she got her face cast for the character so she wouldn't have to actually be in the film? They could just do something digitally?
No. That would have been for masking purposes. If they were going to scan her face, they would have
put a bunch of little things on
her
face to scan up into the computer. And
they would have matched. They would
have done that too.
Well, that could be.
I mean, I try to stalk Katie Sackhoff as much as possible, but I'm very busy, and I don't remember that happening, but there are
Dear
a couple of windows.
Dear Stalker Diary.
Yeah, there's a couple of windows of time where I did lose track of her near the studios, and, you know, all that stuff might have happened. I'm just saying, like, we don't know what she did or not.
Yeah, and I mean, New Mexico is kind of wide open, so it's kind of easy to get lost and turned around and misplace Katie.
Yeah, or lose Matt's body.
How do we get here? Boo!
That is a callback.
Hey, we're supposed
to be a callback.
Don't threaten my man, Matthew.
JF, we're supposed to keep that quiet. We're supposed to keep that. We don't want to get in trouble, so just keep it quiet.
Got it.
All right, so Katie Sackhoff will play the title character, a soldier of the future who sees firsthand how the long-term effects of global warming, the burning of fossil fuels, and scientific experimentation with the balance of nature itself begin to have repercussions for the evolution of the human race. So there's no word yet on when it's going to go into production, but they did sign the deal. They signed it. It's going to be going into production, but we don't know when yet. So it sounds like an interesting premise for a show. It sounds very topical.
Yes.
All right. Second story in the news. The Logan's Run remake is pulling a gender switcheroo. The main character is not going to be a male like it has been. It's going to be a girl. Girls, what do you think of this? Or guys, too.
I think it's cool.
It is. It's not necessarily a very gender-dependent sort of story, so
right.
It's an easy swap to make.
Yeah, it's not like the... I was trying to think some weird, like, ovaries thing like when they go to carousel, they do some... never mind.
The gem is on the palm of their hand, not, you know, south of the border, okay. If you get my...
All right.
So it's not gender-specific.
Yeah. I think it's good to have a female lead, especially in sci-fi, just because it seems like there are more stronger female characters in science fiction, but they're still not leads. They're not like running the show, I guess. And it would
not
just
enough.
Be kind of nice.
There's
exactly.
Few, but not sufficiently. I long for the days when this is no longer worth talking about, where...
Exactly.
Yeah, like,
okay, so-and-so's going to play this part. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It. Where it's does like I can't wait until this becomes a non-story, just because, not because I don't want to like celebrate girl power, woo, but mostly because you know, when we reach true gender equality, this is when this stuff won't matter anymore. That'll be awesome. We'll be able to focus on other things like, why are they making a Logan's Run remake?
Yeah.
I've wanted a Logan's Run remake for the longest time, like ever since the movie and the series was out, because I was a big fan of both when I was back in my day, back in me and Brad's day.
I'm really
you kids
curious.
Get off my lawn.
I'm really curious how they're going to handle like the premise, because the whole idea was population control, which is not an issue quite really. I mean, overpopulation has been sort of disproven as a planet killer scenario, so I'm curious how they're going to reshape that so it makes sense.
But it's science fiction, JF. I mean, it may not be an issue in reality, in this reality, but in science fiction, anything's possible.
True that.
They already did a remake. Really, it was that Justin Timberlake movie with the. Did you guys ever see that where they had like?
In time?
In time,
no.
Yeah.
No.
No, no.
Yeah, where like time was a currency.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's kind of the same concept in a way.
No, it was in time.
Okay.
It was?
Yeah, you got it. Boom!
Gold star for me.
Good job, man. Do we have something for you? Hang on. Let me search the soundboard.
hold on.
No, it's cool.
If you would have got it wrong, you would have got this right here. Or how about this? Or this?
I like the first one because it was a higher pitched and sounded cuter.
So, Logan's Run. Sounds amazing. I can't wait to see the elite handle that with the gems and stuff.
Well, it's we could have gotten Ryan Gosling. He was up for the part last year when it was still Nicholas. I always get this guy's name wrong. Nicholas Winding Refn, R-E-F-N. It's the weirdest, oddest name. He was in the...
Winding.
He sounds like a font.
Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yeah.
He does. Here's what I'm curious about, and I'd love to see a poll about that. And no, seriously, like, how many women are disappointed that Ryan Gosling is no longer the lead, and how many are happy because it's like pro-feminism? Because it really seems like the good Lord giveth, but the good Lord taketh away, as far as recasting the lead for this, as far as women are concerned. They've had the Gosling taken away.
Well, there's the internet for that.
He's dreamy. Yeah. He's very dreamy.
He is dreamy.
I could get lost in those eyes.
I think you're more upset than anyone.
I'm irritated.
I think the liquor's kicking in for JF, actually.
JF, would you like a hug? Bring it in.
Sure. Drive up.
It's all right.
So, you know the reason why they're doing this, too. They're trying to cash in on the whole Katniss Everdeen, Hunger Games. What's the other big, the second movie in the series just came out?
Divergent?
Yeah.
Insurgent.
Yep, Insurgent.
So, detergent.
Detergent.
Because it kind of...
That's the 50s version.
It kind of...
Oh, okay.
it kind of fits into that whole post-apocalyptic trend in movies with the last few years, you know?
That's more like urban fantasy, though, I think.
It's a bit of both. Yeah.
It's actually both dystopian and utopian, because at first you think it's utopian, then you find out the truth, and it turns into a dystopian future, in my opinion, at least.
I agree. I'm just, I don't know, I'm worried that, like, between this, I mean, we just talked about Katie Sackhoff's dystopian future post-apocalypse thing. We've got Mad Max coming out this summer. If that's a success, we're going to see sequels for sure. I'm worried that we're going to soon get burnt out on the terrible future trope.
That's right. You're all in favor of the positive future. I keep on forgetting about that.
I like a bit of both in my entertainment. My personal belief is that the future is bright. There's a road to get there, but like there's a lot of stuff to look forward to. And I'd love to see some of that still in entertainment, and we don't see much anymore, and that's kind of depressing.
I was going to say one more.
I think it's just where society's mindset is at this point.
I'm going to be a bit more curmudgeon-y about that. I just think it's because that's what's been successful, and Hollywood is by and large very careful. I mean, I understand with the amount of money that they're playing, like, you don't want to take huge risks, but they're banking on things that they see have worked. I mean, Divergent didn't get greenlit for no reason. It's because obviously the Hunger Games as well, and like might as well look for the next carbon copy they can find. But that's the thing. Like they see that post-apocalyptic sells, so they're really kind of terrified and hesitant to try something different.
One question before we move on to the next story. Do you think they go with the original age, which was like 21, or stay original from the book, or stay with, I think it was 31 for the movie and the TV show? Do you go young or do you go old? Or do you go home?
I like the 31 was just old. I think you have to. I think if you're going to get, I don't know, 30s or the new 20s, right? Isn't that a thing now? I hope. So I think sticking with, 31 is probably the wiser choice.
I will politely disagree, because... I'm gonna Hollywood executive this.
I can't wait.
They need. Check this out. This makes sense. All right. It's gonna be a female lead. We've already agreed with that. Now, if they go for a male lead, they can say, "Oh, mid-40s is when they like send you to carousel because men stay rugged and like good looking until their 40s." But Hollywood has decided that women stop being attractive around their mid-20s. 25 is gonna be the age.
Oh my God! Wow.
Ooh.
You totally because could be right.
They're going for a female lead.
Yeah, you totally could be right. Okay, let's move on now. Is Spider-Man in Avengers Age of Ultron? You know what? I just realized something. This story, I think, has actually been... Hang on one second. No, this is the right story. I was thinking this might be a story that was from earlier in the week, but this is the latest. This is the latest scoop now. There have been rumors about Spider-Man appearing in Avengers Age of Ultron pretty much since the second Marvel and Sony announced their deal to share the character on screen. But Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige says there's nothing to them. When Collider asked Feige about the possibility that they filmed a Spider-Man scene after principal photography had finished and edited it into the finished film, Feige simply shook his head and said no. It's kind of a funny video because... on this link, comicbook.com, where I got the story from, they post the video, and it's the shortest video. It's just him saying no.
It's awesome.
Would I be talking too much if I gave my theory for that? Because I feel like I've been like just yapping.
No.
As we started.
No, jump in. Jump in.
All right. They've denied two things very, very back to back. Joss Whedon said, oh, there's no Stinger. And then John Feig says, no, there's no Spider-Man. They did not they obviously didn't redo the story just to inject Spider-Man into a scene. However, they could have easily filmed a Stinger.
Yeah, they didn't really, this article really doesn't specify, like his response isn't really, they're talking about the film itself. Now,
I'm saying they lied both times. They're just putting, they're using two negatives to make a positive. They're saying, oh, there's no Stinger. Oh, no, no Spider-Man. Then, whoa, there's Spider-Man in a Stinger, is my theory. I could be wrong.
And by Stinger, you mean post-credits, right?
Yes. That's okay. What they call the post-credit thing. I'm not drinking that much.
No, you're good.
because they confirmed the mid-credits thing, whatever that's called, but then they said that, no, there's no post, like at the end of the event, the first Avengers, there was that thing where they're all sitting around the shawarma place eating shawarma. I love saying shawarma. I hate shawarma, but I love saying it.
Shawarma.
How can you hate shawarma?
Don't get me started.
What is wrong with you?
Don't get me started.
But shawarma loves you, Dave.
Don't get me started.
I've heard it talk about
it
you.
It is delicious.
So I don't know. You might be right. You might be right. It might be the whole J.J. Abrams thing saying, no, it's not Khan. Khan's not our villain.
Yeah, and I mean, didn't they do the same thing when there were rumors that the Howard the Duck was at the end of in the Stinger for Guardians of the Galaxy? Oh yeah, spoilers: the Stinger for Guardians of the Galaxy is Howard the Duck. Sorry. So, that being said, I mean, didn't they do this, pull the same thing and say, oh no, that would be ridiculous, and then boom, they do it.
I'm waiting for Brad's response on this.
Yeah, he's the expert.
Wow. I don't know about me being the expert. I think that hang on. I want to pull up the Marvel slate for their
movies, right?
For the next few films that they have planned out.
Well, we know after Ant-Man, the next one's going to be Captain America: Civil War, right?
Yep, then Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, then they're going to have the Spider-Man film. This does not list... Oh, okay, so after Spider-Man, there's Thor Ragnarok, and then Infinity War... Civil War. Okay, Civil War is after Ant-Man in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at that storyline of Civil War, Spider-Man is pivotal. Absolutely 100% pivotal to that story. And you've only now got Age of Ultron and Ant-Man in between those films. They've got to introduce or at least show Spider-Man in one of those two films.
I think you're right. I was thinking the same
thing. Before Civil War.
I was thinking the same thing. They can't just plop them in. There's got to be some kind of small introduction. So I think JF's right. I think they're lying to us. They're big lying liars.
If it were a B stringer or a C stringer, I could see them just, you know, popping them in, because doing a quick origin or just saying, hey, here's so and so, that's easy enough to do. But Spider-Man's the big character that they wanted for a long time. And I don't think that to give him the proper treatment, you need to have him at least show up at some point, maybe not make it a big deal, but has to show up at some point. So I fully agree with JF on that.
Okay. All right. So we'll I guess time will tell. We're only a couple of weeks away from Avengers: Age of Ultron, and I'm even looking more. I think I'm looking forward to the movie, obviously, but I'm also looking forward to seeing the trailer for Star Wars: The Force Awakens as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the word,
that'll be okay.
Yeah, the word is next week we're going to see the first look of Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice as well. So
that's in the trailer is going to be in the Mad Max move before Mad Max, right?
Yeah, but there's a rumor going around that we will see like either a stinger, like a teaser for the trailer next week, or an actual trailer for it next week before Mad Max comes out.
Man, that movie, Batman versus Superman, could either be like the most amazing thing or the worst. It's gonna be one or the other.
Again,
I have high hopes.
Again, we can't have preconceived notions because that will ruin it for us. So we have an open mind. Open minds, everybody.
Oh, I'm optimistic. I think they have a plan, unlike what most people think. Anyway, but that's neither here nor there. I'm sure this is going to be a topic of conversation in future episodes a lot.
All right, one final story in the news. Hugo Award hijacking. A group of right-wing internet users calling themselves Sad Pupping hijacked the Hugo Award ballot.
That's the Sad Puppies.
Oh, Sad Puppies. Not the Sick Puppies?
No.
The popular rock band from a few years ago when I was still on radio? I don't know if they are still.
Skinny Puppies?
I was going to say, isn't that Skinny Puppies?
No, Sick Puppies. Sick,
maybe?
Sick Puppies. Maybe they changed their name to Skinny Puppies. Maybe the whole sick thing was throwing
people
off.
Skinny Puppies have always been Skinny Puppies, haven't they? Because the lead singer from Skinny Puppies was in Repo the Genetic Opera.
Oh, Sick Puppies is a band from Australia. They had a few hits a few years ago.
Hmm.
Anywho, Sad Pupping hijacked the Hugo Award ballot this year, buying voter-only memberships to the World Science Fiction Convention in order to fill the ballot with stories aligned with their political agenda, including one called calling on Gamergate supporters to join with them in seizing control of the award. Game of Thrones creator George R.R. Martin wrote a series of posts about the activity, which is within Hugo voting rules. See, I'm really torn on this issue, and I know JF's got a lot to say about this.
Apparently I have a lot to say about everything tonight. I won't shut up.
It's okay.
You have opinions.
I have opinions.
So I'm really torn on this because they were within the rules, but then they used that power for something bad, like the whole Gamergate thing. I just makes me sick. So what do you think, everybody?
I'll let someone else go first.
I'm looking at this. There was a post today that two of the people that were put into the running for the Hugos by the Sad Puppies, and there was another group too. They dropped out.
Oh,
they said that they did not want to win a Hugo because of general jackassery by other people's interests in promoting their own agenda.
Was that their official statement? General jackassery.
I'm throwing stuff in there, but that was the general gist of it.
Okay.
They weren't going to be a part of the f***ery that was going on there, so they walked away.
Thanks, Brad.
Timestamp.
You're welcome.
Take a note, Dave.
So at the Hugo Award hijacking point, Brad says f***ery, not once, but twice. You're welcome.
He's riding f***. Into the dock now.
And there's the third one.
Damn it! Quit it! Go, okay, go on. Continue.
So, two of them walked away. They weren't going to be a part of it, and I think that this is going to kind of horribly taint the Hugos for a bit. You can't, quite honestly... I think that the Hugos should be changed so that the general public cannot influence stuff like that. Or if you do have the general public...
only have maybe a fraction or percentage of
overall thing should be
15%
done.
Or 10% of the general public has a say, but the rest is a panel or committee or something.
Yeah, because and I'm going to draw a parallel here from work. At work, okay, there was, and Dave is associated with the company that I work for, there was a radio station in Holland that...
Holland, Michigan.
Holland, Michigan, yes, sorry.
I was confused for a second.
That had a deciding poll on the website that would determine who would get to open for a particular event in that area. And the one thing that I have always said is, if you're going to do a poll, a couple of things. One, never make it the deciding factor in anything, because there is no way to make something 100% secure. So with this particular poll that was being done, people were voting, and we had it set up. It was set up to track cookies on the computer. And a cookie is basically something that tells your computer, yep, you've done this particular thing, and I'm dropping it on here so I can always check back to that. But you can turn cookies off on your browser, essentially rendering that particular safety function useless. Now, there is a secondary level at which you can also track by IP address. This gets more fun, Amy, I swear to God.
What?
It looked like she was falling asleep. I figured I would just throw her in here and bring her back here.
I'm good.
So once we turned on the IP tracking, then we saw like activity on the website drop completely. We were checking things in Google Analytics real time. We could see how much traffic was on the website at any given point in time. And traffic went from an average of 60 down to about 5, like that.
Wow.
That said, the people that, and there were two bands that were like doing this general jackassery back and forth, and the two other bands were upset that this was happening, and rightfully so. But the deciding factor was this poll. And unfortunately, in this day and age, you can't have one thing be a determining factor. I think if you do the Hugos right, perhaps you have a voted-in panel of Hugo, maybe former Hugo winners or whatever, that can also have a vote as a part of this too. I don't think it should be determined just by one factor, because we're seeing how this stacked the deck and caused issues. So,
I have a feeling that JF's going to have an opposing view to this, but I could be wrong. But so go ahead, JF. What's your feeling?
No, I agree with Brad pretty much.
100%. Oh, okay.
The problem is, okay, hold on. Here's the thing. Like, the Hugos have, first of all, the Hugos are not necessarily a public vote system as per se. You need to be a Worldcon attendee to vote, and you need to be a special magic Worldcon attendee to nominate. So there's a dollar value to the vote. So there, I admire Sad Puppy's commitment by actually putting dollars down to make their jackass statements. And honestly, if their statement is saying this voting thing is bullcrap, they're right. Okay, I agree. The moment they start having a quote-unquote agenda and saying that they want to rally Gamergate supporters, then you know they're a bunch of morons and should probably be called from the herd and at the very least not listened to. These are not associations that you want. Now, the thing is, yeah, Hugo voting is a cluster cluck or a cluster cluck, and it has been forever because, yeah, you can have you can campaign for your book. You can have some of your friends buy voting tickets and never show up. Mind you, these are expensive tickets. They're not cheap. There's not $10 a pop. So I'd have to check, but it's $200 for an attendee ticket? No, it can't be that high. Anyways, but it's not a negligible amount. So already you've got sort of this gate that has never been a problem before until you wind up with a situation where you have a bunch of jackasses who say, we're going to make a statement in the quietest way possible by attacking one of the most unremarkable and unspoken of award in North America or the world. I mean, the Hugos are super important to sci-fi and fantasy authors and fans. I ask most people on the street, hey, Hugo Award, what do you think of the results? And they'll think I'm a weirdo. I mean, this is very, very niche. This is not, this kind of political action is not going to change anything in the world. It's not going to put pressure on any political party or any political movement. This is very insulary. So I am not quite sure what they're trying to change. The only thing I can think of is they're trying to change the voting system of the system that they're attacking, which it's kind of bizarre. So that being said, A, I don't think it's something that they're going to repeat, because you're not going to ask your supporters to pay $50, $100, $200 every year just so you can make a statement. And second of all, it's an easy fix for Hugo Awards. And finally, even if they don't fix it, that's how a lot of these award things work. I mean, the Academy Awards, the most revered system of awards in North America, we know and have known for a decade or more, is broken to the core. It's a bunch of old men voting on what they want to watch at the retirement home. None of these awards are the just measure of quality in their field. The Hugos are not no different, and the only thing that this kind of shows, this kind of reminds us, oh yeah, these are just people voting for their friends and stuff. Status quo, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
That's my opinion.
That may be the final word on this story. Anybody else have anything before we get out of here?
Nope.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I went off there. I had opinions.
All right, we're going to have JF and Amy back on the next episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. We're separating the show into two parts now. We've got the news in part one, and then we've got our discussion story in part two. So if you were expecting a full-blown hour-and-a-half bonanza like we usually do, there's a reason why we're splitting it up. So we don't have an hour-and-a-half bonanza of brilliant sci-fi stuff. So look for the next episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, another half-hour or so episode in your feed in a few days, and we'll have Amy and JF back. So until then, we will talk to you guys next time.
Thank you for joining us for another meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Did you know you could help support this network financially for as little as $1 a month? Come on, that's less than a cup of coffee. Support this network now at patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. If you liked what you heard, then make sure to subscribe for free on iTunes, Stitcher, or by going to gncasts.com/subscribe. And if you really enjoyed the podcast, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Even better, tell your friends and family about the Sci-Fi Geeks Club from Galactic Netcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Splash Page, brought to you by the Elf Nerds. I'm Gregor Sprague. Captain Marvel isn't in the Avengers Age of Ultron, but she came really close. Despite persistent rumors to the contrary, it's confirmed that Captain Marvel won't have a cameo in Avengers Age of Ultron. However, it turns out the fan-favorite superhero came really close. So close that the director Joss Whedon filmed FX footage of her in flight. Speaking with Badass Digest, Marvel Studios' Kevin Feige explained the rationale for excluding Carol Danvers from Age of Ultron, rather than introducing her at the very end, and a warning a minor spoiler for the film follows. To me, it would have done that character a disservice to meet her fully formed in a costume and a part of the Avengers already when 99% of the audience would go, "Who is that?" he said. "It's just not the way we've done it before." Captain Marvel's FX shots didn't go to waste, however. The way we reveal Scarlet Witch in costume at the end of the movie, Feige said, those were Captain Marvel plate shots. Wonder Woman has a new director. Now, we all know that the movie's former director, Michelle McLaren, quit over creative differences just a little while ago. But DC and the studio Warner Brothers have already found someone to step up into the breach. Enter Patty Jenkins, who The Hollywood Reporter says has already agreed to a deal to direct the big screen adaptation of the iconic comic character due for release in 2017. Jenkins recently directed the pilot for AMC's series The Killing, but is known best for directing 2003's Monster, a crime drama that won star Charlize Theron an Oscar for her role as serial killer Aileen Wuornos. She was originally set to make her big break into superhero movies as the director of Marvel's Thor 2, but walked away from the project over reported creative differences. Thor 2 would have made her the first female director of an entry in Marvel cinematic canon. With her new gig, she instead becomes the first woman to direct an entry in DC's growing movie universe. Netflix announces audio descriptions for blind fans of Marvel's Daredevil. This is probably one of the most obvious and genius things ever conceived. Well played, Marvel and Netflix. Netflix has announced they plan to offer audio descriptions for certain programs, and the first one on the list is, of course, Marvel's Daredevil. You know, the one about a blind vigilante who's trying to take back his city. The audio descriptions are basically just narration tracks that describe what's happening on screen, including physical actions, facial expressions, costumes, settings, and scene changes. Fans have been asking for them, and Netflix wants to make sure they're available for the lovers of The Man Without Fear who are visually impaired. One of the many great things about Daredevil is that it gives a true-to-life look at how Matt Murdock lives his life without sight, from learning to read Braille to making a spacious apartment that wasn't quite as desirable to those who could see the neon billboard outside the window. They did a great job with the small touches, and this is an excellent way to continue that trend. But it's not just Daredevil getting the narration treatment. Netflix pledges to roll the feature out for several original series within the next few weeks, including House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Marco Polo. The company also promises to keep working to expand the slate by teaming up with other studios and content owners in the coming months. And now here are some of the comics that are coming out for April 22nd, 2015. DC Comics continues their Convergence event with Convergence number 3, Convergence Batman and the Outsiders number 1, Flash number 1, Hawkman number 1, Justice League of America number 1, New Teen Titans number 1, Swamp Thing number 1, and Wonder Woman number 1. All those are Convergence titles. And if you don't want to do the whole Convergence event, there's Effigy number 4. IDW has Galaxy Quest The Journey Continues number 4 and Infinite Loop number 1. Image Comics has Chew number 45, Empty number 3, Lazarus number 16, the trade paperback of MPH, and Velvet number 10. Marvel Comics has All New X-Men number 40, Amazing X-Men number 19, Black Widow number 17, Inhuman Special number 1, and then True Believers Armor Wars number 1 and True Believers Infinity Gauntlet number 1. This has been the Splash Page, in part brought to you by the Elsners, and you can find more Splash Page news on GalacticNetcast.com, and I'm Gregor Sprecht.
You have been listening to a presentation of GalacticNetcasts.com. For more about the show you just listened to, including how to subscribe, give us feedback, links to our social feeds, and more, please visit www.galacticnetcasts.com.